We've all heard of the game Show and Tell. And if you have kids, you're probably still participating in it, you know, scrounging to find something for them to take in and just burst with excitement to show their classmates. But did you know that Show and Tell goes as far back as the Bible? Seriously, no, I'm not crazy, at least not to that extent, but just give me the next 15 minutes of your time, and I'll tell you exactly what I mean and show you the magic that comes from Show and Tell. It's all today on She Read It Herself. Hi. Oh, I'm so glad that you're back. I hope you're having an amazing day. I jinxed us at the end of last episode and said, I hope you're enjoying this beautiful sunny weather, because today I am looking out at a very rainy, gloomy day. But it hasn't been gloomy for too long. I do love just a good rainy day, especially when I don't really have to go anywhere. But when it gets into several days, then yeah, that kind of bums me out. I'm a Florida girl at heart. I need my sunshine. But other than that, nothing too crazy. Knock on wood. My kids, two of my three kids, are still home from spring break. So if you hear a bit of Mom or Taylor Swift blasting in the background at various points in time, soundproofing can only do so much. And that is what happens when you are a part-time working mom, working from your bedroom studio. But listen, I have a really great episode that I'm super excited about sharing with you today. If you think back to where we left off on our last episode, it was called The Good Stalker, and it was in John 1, and we left off with the two new disciples following Jesus and being seekers. They called Jesus, who they just met, Rabbi, meaning teacher. And then they ask him, where are you going? Can we come too? And they did. And by the end of verse 39, it says, so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. And that's right where we're going to pick up. And we're only going to do two verses today, 40 through 42. Because remember, we just like to take bite-sized nuggets of scripture that maybe in the past we would have brushed off as hard to understand or even boring. And instead, we really dig into the words to see what we can get out of it. We're being seekers, wanting to strengthen our relationship with God and really just take it to a deeper level by reading scripture. So, John 1, verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. And I have no idea if I pronounce that correctly. C-E-P-H-A-S. Cephas? Cephas? Anyway, let's go back to verse 41. And just those first couple of words. The first thing Andrew did, the very first thing he did, was to go and grab his brother. He was so excited, just bursting with excitement, that he had to go tell one of the closest people to him, one of the most important people to him, what he had found. Can't you just relate to that? Isn't that just such human nature? It makes me think of my little guy. He's 6, and when I walk up to the school to pick him up, he always has something that he's just bursting to share with me. And sometimes it's something good, you know, look at this sticker, or I get some artwork that he's colored and glued together, and he's just so proud and excited to show me. But sometimes it's also the bad stuff, too. I mean, don't you just know that face? The face of your child when you're walking up and they're unhappy about something? He'll see me, and I see he puts on the super pouty face, you know, arms crossed and bottom lip out, chin tucked, which I always play along and, "Oh, what's wrong, buddy?" And then he tells me whatever the drama was. You know, Joey was mean to him, or Katie and Bryce played kickball without him. You know, the tea, as my teens say. Actually, they don't say that anymore, and they're ashamed that I even just said that. So erase that from your minds. Uncool, Mom. But, you know, the drama. And it's not like we grow out of this as adults. I know for me, whenever something big happens, whether it's good or bad, the first thing I do, kind of just like my kids, is I tell my mom. My mom is one of my best friends, and when I am just so excited that something has happened in my life, she's the first person that I want to tell. You know, you always have that person that you are just so excited. It's like a gut instinct that you just have to run and tell them when something big happens in your life. And honestly, if you want to take it even a step further, isn't social media basically a giant collection of show and tell? Look at what I did to my kitchen, or look at how I do my makeup. Listen to what happened to me. It is all a giant show and tell, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that because it's human nature. As humans, we want to connect. We want to share stuff. We want to share what matters to us. Which, of course, begs the question, you see where I'm going with this? If God and your relationship with God, or what is happening in your life with God, is the most important thing in your life, are you bursting with pride and excitement to share it with someone? Do you play show and tell when it comes to your faith? I will be totally honest with you, I have not always been able to do this. I have felt for a long time that I had this calling to share my story of my life and everything that I've been through, and more importantly, how I didn't just survive it, but I am now thriving in spite of it. I've always felt a deep urge to share that. And it started with a mommy blog that, oh gosh, like 15 years ago. And then from sharing through my writing, it kind of transferred onto social media. And even as I've been sharing in social media a lot about what has happened to me in my life, and I've been very open about it, wanting to help other survivors get through whatever their situation is, I have not always been bursting with excitement to share the part about my Christianity. I talked about my faith, I talked about God and how that is what got me through, but I really shied away from using the name Jesus, from using the term Christianity. I would more say spirituality than religion, because I didn't want to turn people off. I was afraid that if I really came out as a Christian, I would lose my followers. And let me tell you, when I started this podcast and decided to just go full out show and tell with my faith, and I posted it all over my social media, I did lose followers. I probably lost a couple hundred that were just turned off by the content. And that's fine, because I guess I wasn't meant to share it with them. There were some consequences from sharing my faith. But in the grand scheme of things, what does that matter? When I get to heaven and Jesus asks me, "How have you done, my child?" It's not going to matter how many Instagram followers I had. It's going to matter how I shared my faith with others. It's going to matter how much I was bursting with pride and excitement and joy when it came to my relationship with Jesus. That is what matters in the long run. But it took me a while to get there. And I still feel a little hindrance every once in a while when I go to post something that really says flat out Christianity. But I make myself do it. Not just because it's my life story, not just about everything that I've been through, because it is the epitome of how I survived. If you haven't heard my full story, it is on episode 2 of She Read It Herself, and I've also done multiple interviews with other podcasters. And when I listen to all of the events that happened, the trauma that occurred, not once, not twice, not three times, but over and over and over, over the period of, oh my gosh, 12, 13 years, I sometimes wonder, how are you still here? How are you not just shriveled in a ball in the corner of your closet? And I almost did give up. Sometimes I look back and I wonder, how am I actually not just surviving, but thriving? It does not make logical sense. And yet here I am. And I only got to this point after really committing to deepening my relationship with God, to reading scripture, and to not just reading it, but to try and learn from it, to take it to heart. Studying along the book of John, taking the time to meditate on it, taking the time to seek out, not just so I could heal, but I could find joy and I could finally achieve what my calling in life was. When I think about it that way, how could I not be bursting and wanting to take my faith to show and tell? And you want to know what is so cool when we do get that excited, when we do just burst to somebody else about what we found in our faith? The way the dominoes just fall in unexpected ways. Let's keep reading. Look at what happens when Andrew brings Simon for show and tell. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Peter." The disciple Peter, who, as we read more and more about Peter, we know that he is emotional. We know that he sometimes has bad behavior off the cuff. And yet Jesus renamed him Peter, which translates to rock. Spoiler alert, Peter would go on to be a rock. He would go on to be one of the most principal disciples. I mean, think back, you guys. If John hadn't been testifying, then Andrew would not have followed him and would not have then wanted to follow Jesus and therefore wouldn't have brought his brother Simon. You see, you get my point? To meet Jesus. And when I think about all those dots connecting in such a magnificent way and in such a kind of scary way, right? Like, oh, geez, what if John hadn't been testifying that day and Andrew hadn't have been listening to him? Like, there's so many things that you just take one piece out of the equation and do you still end up with, you know, the way Peter played this incredible role in the New Testament? And maybe it is all preordained, not to get into a theology tangent. I grew up going to a Presbyterian private school. And in that school, they taught us that, well, we kind of don't have a choice. It's called predestination, and it's decided for us. I mean, I get where they're coming from. It never really synced with me because of, you know, kind of the whole free will thing. But the thing is, guys, we don't need to know how it all works. The only thing we need to just have tunnel vision on is making the next right step in our journey of faith. Don't worry about all the rest. It really just comes down to making the next right decision in front of you and believing that incredible things can happen. Just look at all of the small steps, the small decisions that were made. Andrew running and bursting with joy to tell his brother. The two disciples deciding to follow Jesus and just ask him the question, "Where are you going? Where are you staying?" And Jesus saying, "Come and see." And they get to spend one day with him, soaking it all up. Like, they're all just next right small decisions. So as we wrap up I just want to ask you, what is the next decision that the Holy Spirit is prompting you about? You know, that still small voice inside of you. It doesn't often speak with a big boom and a glowing neon sign. Sometimes it's just that little nagging voice. For me, it was that it was saying, read your Bible. My mom would say, read your Bible. My aunt would say, oh, it sounds like you're wanting to deepen your relationship with God. Maybe you need to look more into that. Like, what is that little prompt telling you? And the second question is, are you ready to go to show and tell? Who can you take to show and tell? Who can you burst with joy about the amazing things God has done in your life? Who can you share that with? It certainly leaves me with plenty to think about. And I hope you were able to get a little something out of this too. Because that's why we spend these 15, 20 minutes together, is just to get one little nugget that we can take with us, one little brick, and then another brick, and another one in building our foundation of our relationship with God. I hope you can hear it in my voice how geeked out I get. I get just way too excited about all of this, but it's so neat. It just makes me grin ear to ear thinking about all the potential. As always, thank you. Truly thank you for spending this time with me. I so appreciate you guys, and I love y'all so much. As always, feel free to reach out to me. I love hearing from you one-on-one, you know, actually putting a name with whoever is at the other end of this audio file. You can send me a DM on Instagram at Ms. Pink Monster, M-S Pink Monster. And if you wouldn't mind doing a little bit of show and tell here and share this episode with one of your fellow women of faith who you think also could get something out of it. If you have 2 seconds, leave a positive review so Apple or Spotify will push me out so other women can join our little community. And click that follow subscribe so you get every episode. Grab an umbrella on your way out if you live in my area, and I can't wait to do this again next week. Talk to you later, my friend. Bye.